Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are again going to discuss one more time this statement that was put on LDS.org in December of 2013 titled Race and Priesthood. And the reason why we're looking at it today is from a little bit of a different angle. As we mentioned in yesterday's show, we talked about how the Mormon Church is actually going to be studying the teachings of Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the Mormon Church. In fact, in January of 2014, the Ensign magazine featured a picture of Joseph Fielding Smith in his younger years, but the title read on the cover, Joseph Fielding Smith, Defender of the Faith. Now, we find this to be ironic, because here the Mormon Church just came out with this statement on race and the priesthood. And in that statement, it makes a lot of truth claims and actually tries to disavow, and that's a word that's actually used in the statement, some of the past theories that some Mormon leaders were teaching regarding why blacks could not hold the priesthood. And we think it's pertinent to understand that Joseph Fielding Smith was certainly one of those teachers that strongly espoused a lot of what is being denounced in this current statement that's found on LDS.org. So if Joseph Fielding Smith is in fact a defender of the faith, as the cover of the January Ensign states, he's a defender of a faith that the Mormon leadership right now really doesn't want to own up to.
It almost just, it feels ironic. I mean, that this statement came out at this particular time, and Joseph Fielding Smith is teaching exactly opposite, and yet here he is being called the defender of the faith, and his teachings were true.
Well, as the statement said, the December 2013 statement says on LDS.org, the church disavows the theories advanced in the past that black skin is a sign of divine disfavor or curse, or that it reflects actions in a premortal life, that mixed-race marriages are a sin, or that blacks or people of any other race or ethnicity are inferior in any other way to anyone else. But yet, as we showed in yesterday's program, those are some of the very things that Joseph Fielding Smith taught. And we've been looking at a book that he wrote called The Way to Perfection. And as he states in the front of the book, this book is going to teach principles in the church that he says should never change. But yet when we look at some of the principles he's discussing in this book, especially in relationship to blacks holding the priesthood, they are teachings that the church certainly is now changing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the statements that it makes on the LDS.org website is that this idea of blacks not being allowed to hold the priesthood really didn't begin with Joseph Smith. It began with Brigham Young.
Yep.
They basically are going to pin Brigham Young with this kind of a doctrine, somehow trying to protect Joseph Smith for whatever reason. But that's not what Joseph Fielding Smith taught. He taught just the opposite of that.
On Way to Perfection, page 110, it says, this doctrine did not originate with President Brigham Young, but was taught by the prophet Joseph Smith at a meeting of the General Authorities of the Church held August 22nd, 1895, the question of the status of the Negro in relation to the priesthood was asked, and the minutes of the meeting say, President George Q. Cannon remarked that the prophet taught this doctrine that the seed of Cain could not receive the priesthood nor act in any of the offices of the priesthood until the seed of Abel should come forward and take precedence over Cain's offspring. He goes on and says, Joseph Smith has left very little on record in his own words outside the Pearl of Great Price. But he goes on and says, but we all know it is due to his teachings, Joseph Smith, that the Negro today is barred from the priesthood.
And notice he also says that he calls them an unfortunate people. he uses a lot of these very derogatory comments to describe them. He's trying to be, I think, sounding sympathetic. At the same time, I'm certain that they would come off as very offensive the way he's describing them. The point is in these two chapters that we find in The Way to Perfection, he deals at length on why blacks should not hold the priesthood. In chapter 16, it's called The Seed of Cain After the Flood. And he talks about when the day would finally come when blacks would be eventually allowed to hold the priesthood. Now, you touched on it briefly in what you just read, but remember the statement that came out in December of 2013 tries to give the impression. It says this. It says, church leaders pondered promises made by prophets such as Brigham Young that black members would one day receive priesthood and temple blessings. It goes on to say, in June 1978, after spending many hours in the upper room of the Salt Lake Temple supplicating the Lord for divine guidance, church president Spencer Kimball, his counselors in the first presidency, and members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles received a revelation. He has heard our prayers, and by revelation has confirmed that the long-promised day has come. That's not what Joseph Fielding Smith believed. No. Joseph Fielding Smith, in fact, cites Brigham Young in context. The statement that came out in December does not quote him in context, but Joseph Fielding Smith does quote him in context on page 106.
It says, when all the other children of Adam have had the privilege of receiving the priesthood and of coming into the kingdom of God and of being redeemed from the four quarters of the earth and have received their resurrection from the dead, then it will be time enough to remove the curse from Cain and his posterity. He deprived his brother of the privilege of pursuing his journey through life and of extending his kingdom by multiplying upon the earth. And because he did this, he is the last to share the joys of the kingdom of God.
Now, that's Brigham Young in context. And as we've been mentioning, the Mormon leadership until 1978 did not see this promise as something that would happen during this mortality. It would happen after the resurrection. Joseph Fielding Smith firmly believed this. In fact, he goes on to say on page 106, President Woodruff, this is Wilford Woodruff, in his journal records the words of President Young as follows. Any man having one drop of the seed of Cain in him cannot receive the priesthood, but the day will come when all that race will be redeemed and possess all the blessings which we now have. And he's citing from the History of Wilford Woodruff, page 351. Now, in the next page, page 107, it has a subtitle, A Skin of Blackness. President Young also gave this explanation.
And it says, why are so many of the inhabitants of the earth cursed with a skin of blackness? It comes in consequence of their fathers rejecting the power of the holy priesthood and the laws of God. They will go down to their death. And when all the rest of the children have received their blessings in the holy priesthood, then that curse will be removed from the seed of Cain, and they will then come up and possess the priesthood.
Are you listening carefully to the details of this promise that was given by Brigham Young, and no doubt one of the pondered promises that the statement that came out in December of 2013, are you listening carefully to the details? Have these details come to pass? Have all the other children of Adam had the privilege of receiving the priesthood and of coming into the kingdom of God and of being redeemed from the four quarters of the earth? Has that happened?
No.
No, it hasn't happened. No. And that's what Brigham Young taught, and that's what Joseph Fielding Smith believed. He's concurring with what Brigham Young said on this subject. He's not denying it. So when the Mormon Church comes out today and tries to make it sound that there was this promise by Brigham Young that was eventually fulfilled in 1978, I would say, first of all, folks, Brigham Young wouldn't have agreed with that. He didn't think that would have happened in 1978.
You know, if you're a Latter-day Saint out there and you're listening to all of this, I know it's a lot of information. We've gone very fast through this week to talk about this. But I would say it behooves you to do your own research. Don't just listen to the PR statements of the LDS Church. If you have access, go on the internet and read some of the sermons of the Journal of Discourses. It wasn't just Brigham Young saying it back then, it was others as well. But you go through the teachings as we're reading from this book, The Way to Perfection. This is something that was clearly taught as doctrine all the way through until 1978. June 1978, all of a sudden, everything changes. But before then, it is a, I'm going to call it a lie to say this was a theory. This was doctrine.
Let's be that bold. I think we should be that bold. When a Mormon comes up, because remember we read several broadcasts ago about Margaret Young saying that we should put this statement on little cards and give it to people, and we should, you know, show them that this has all been disavowed. No, what they're doing, what the church is doing now, is they're lying about the history.
Yes.
They've been caught, and they're lying. And shame on you, Thomas S. Monson. Shame on you, Henry Eyring. Shame on you, Dieter F. Uchtdorf, claiming to be men of God and outright lying about your history to really save your own rear end. You should be ashamed. And unfortunately, a lot of innocent Mormons are buying into this.
That's the problem.
And that's what irritates me so much on this.
And that's why I think we sound irritated right now. And we are irritated because we study these issues. And we were looking at the January 2014 Ensign, and there's some nice pictures of nice-looking people. Because Mormons are nice people, let's just
be
honest. And this is why it bothers us so much. I think it would be easier for us if they weren't so nice, if they were mean. We could say, you know what, let's just find another thing to do. But we know that the Mormons are nice people, and they're being misled by these leaders.
And it's prevarications like this that cause a lot of Mormons, when they find out the truth, that end up getting rid of any type of religious beliefs.
Well,
they've been lied to about this. And of course, when you're raised on this premise that if the church isn't true, nothing is, you can understand, folks, why so many ex-Mormons become either agnostic or atheist. They've had their priorities wrong throughout their whole religious life. Jesus has never been the foundation of their faith. Jesus is only one little aspect. The foundation is always the church and the leadership. And when they find out the leaders have been lying to them, it's easy for them to go into agnosticism and atheism. This is why we're so concerned.
Absolutely.
And this is why we say the church as a corporation needs to repent. They need to repent. They expect their members to repent of their sins, but the leadership needs to repent of this type of prevarication. And until they do, we're not going to stop exposing these errors.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free."